So how many of you, part of your Thanksgiving tradition, how many of you watch the Thanksgiving Day Parade? Okay, well, I didn't even know there was still a Thanksgiving Day Parade. So that's maybe about five or six, handful of you. Did you guys know that there's actually a parade that you're going to be in that's mentioned in the Bible? Did you know that? And you're saying where? It's in the Bible. You just have to know what version to read. But I'll show you what version it's in. But there is a parade that we're going to be marching in the Bible. So last week we were talking about that giving of thanks. And giving of thanks as it led into or headed us into the Thanksgiving holiday. Today, I want us to see how that giving of thanks, I want us to see how the giving of thanks actually leads us into that parade of victory that is led by Jesus Christ. Now, we sometimes use the phrase thanksgiving and the word praise. We use that interchangeably, but there is a difference between the two. Praise is the exaltation of the Lord for who He is. It is the outpouring of love and adoration. It's the outpouring of love and adoration, and it's just the acknowledgement of His divine attributes and His excellence. He is the Lord, and He's worthy to be praised. Thanksgiving is something else. Thanksgiving is that expression of gratitude to Jesus Christ for the things that He has already done in our lives, for the things that we have received. But this is important, and it's often overlooked. Thanksgiving is also that expression of gratitude and that thanking of Jesus Christ. It is that thanks that is an expression of faith. It's an expression of faith because you are thanking Jesus for the things that He's already done and established for you, but we have not yet received. But they're still there. They're still ours. They still belong to us. So we get an idea of this difference between the expressions of thanksgiving and praise. We get an idea of this from one of the verses that we looked at last week, actually, a couple of the verses. So let's go back and look again at Psalm 103. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I want you guys to notice as we go through the message today, if you pay attention to that last song, that was amazing. I told Tony, can we play that again at the end? Because so many of the things that I'm going to be touching on are things that were mentioned in that song. So just pay attention. Remember that song and remember some of these things. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Now, the word that we read there as bless, that word literally means to kneel down in adoration. So in verse number 1, David is actually kneeling down physically, mentally and emotionally, and spiritually. He's kneeling down in adoration to the Lord for who He is. His motivation is simply this. It's a realization that He is the Lord and He is worthy of praise. That's what we see taking place in verse number 1. In verse number 2, David is blessing the Lord as he's remembering all of His many benefits. So in other words, David is remembering all of the great things that God has done for him. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That is such a great phrase. I want to look at one of those words there, soul. And we've talked about this many times over the last year. We touched on it a little bit yesterday. But our soul, that's that part of us that, you know, the Bible sometimes talks about heart. Heart and soul are the same thing. Our soul is that portion of who we are. We're spirit, soul, and body. It's one third of who we are. Our soul is that part of us that is our mind. It's our thoughts. It's our personality. And it's our will. Our soul is that unique and eternal creation of you. And as we saw last week, and I talked about just at the very start of this, it is that unique creation of you. You are created unlike any other. There's no other creation before or since like you. And only you can bless the Lord. Only you can bless Jesus in the way, the unique way that you alone to bless Him in the unique way that He created you alone to praise Him. and to give thanks to Him. Only you can do that. So, now, with this understanding of the difference between thanksgiving and praise, and with this also understanding of the uniqueness of the blessing that comes from each one of our souls, with that understanding, let's go look at the next verse. Next verse is Psalm 100, verse number 4. Psalm 100, verse number 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Notice that we enter in with thanksgiving. The gates are opened by thanksgiving. We enter in with thanksgiving. It is thanksgiving that opens up the gates and allows us into the court. And from there, we can enter into His courts with praise. It starts with that heart of thanksgiving. But the question is, and the question that would be the next logical question after that is, we think about that being from the Old Testament and the Old Covenant. So the question would be, where exactly are those courts today? Because in the Old Testament, the courts were actually part of that physical temple that He had. It was part of the physical temple that was there in Jerusalem. But when it talks about this, it's still relevant, but where are those courts today? Well, those courts are right in here. The courts are right here in the temple of you and I. Remember that the Holy Spirit dwells within you, within your spirit. The Holy Spirit inhabits your praise. We read that in Psalm 22, verse number 3. I got a lot of scriptures for you this morning. This is from the Amplified Bible. Psalm 22, verse number 3. But you are holy, O you who dwell in the holy place. Remember this verse. But you are holy, O you who dwell in the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered. Now in some versions, in other versions, this says that God is enthroned upon our praise. But the point that we see here is that God inhabits where? God inhabits the place where our praise is offered. God inhabits the place of our praise, which is right here. Right here in the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is where He inhabits. And the courts, His courts. It says His courts are in the holy places where His praise is offered. His courts in the holy places where His praise is offered. Where's that? That's in you and I. That's in your spirit. Because your spirit is made holy. You are the holiness, you are the righteousness of Jesus Christ. No matter what happens in your life, your spirit, once you've accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ, once you've accepted that, your spirit is holy. And this says, this is where His courts are. His courts are in the holy places where praise is offered. This is taking place inside of you and I. This is the courts right in here. This is where we offer Him that praise, right here. In the courts of you and I. We need to make sure that we are filling the courts of this holy temple, this temple of the Holy Spirit. Fill this court with praise, because it's the praise, as we're going to see, it's the praise that brings all of those things that we have not yet seen, those things He's established for us, those things that He's prepared for us already. It is that praise. Praise is an important part. It's praise and those words of faith that bring those things from that spiritual realm reality here into my life and into this reality that I live in. So, let's go back for a moment to Psalm 100, verse number 4. So, in Psalm 100, verse number 4, it says that the doors open the gates, or the doors of the gates are opened, or the gates are opened with thanksgiving. It's thanksgiving that opens up those doors. It's thanksgiving for all the things that God has done for us that we've already seen and received. But again, it is also thanksgiving for all the things that Jesus Christ has established for us, has already prepared for you, that is already done, that we just have not yet received. It's yours, we just haven't received it yet. When we realize that part of our thanksgiving is thanking Him for those things that we have not yet seen, in realizing that, then we can enter into. Then, as we enter into His courts, and His courts become my spirit, which is filled with the Holy Spirit, Then as we enter into his courts with praise, then our situations and our circumstances start to change. Because it's with praise. Praise prepares us. Praise prepares you to begin to receive all of those things that are done and established in the spiritual realm, and you bring them from that spiritual realm reality to this natural realm reality where we live and where we reside. This is the importance of praise and worship. Now, I've given you a whole lot, and I told myself I'd at least pause at least once to give you a chance to let all that sink in. So, everybody still with me? Would anybody say if they weren't? Well, as you're letting that sink in, let me also tell you a story or an illustration that if you know me at all, you've heard this story a dozen times. And I bring it up again because it's an awesome illustration of exactly what we're talking about. So my pastor's pastor was a man named Moses Vey. And Moses Vey was the man who actually ordained me into ministry and ordained me into the pastorship. Moses Vey tells a story, and he said that he had a dream, and he was walking in this dream down this pathway. And he was walking side by side with Jesus. And as they're walking down this roadway, on either side of them, there's these huge warehouses, one after another. And so Moses said to Jesus, what are these buildings? What are these warehouses? And Jesus said, well, let's go in and look. So they opened up the door to this one warehouse. And Moses said he looked inside, and all he could see from floor to ceiling, which were massive ceilings, and he couldn't even see the end of the warehouse. But from floor to ceiling, from front to back, stacked all of these boxes and things. And Jesus said, every one of these buildings is a warehouse for an individual. And in each one of these warehouses, I have stored everything that I have done, everything that they need in their life. I've already seen their needs and I've met their needs. And all of their needs are stored for them here, just waiting for them to take receipt, to take deliverance of what I've provided for them. So he's provided everything that we need. Everything that we need in this life, Jesus has already provided for us. It's already done in the spiritual realm. If your need is a health need, if your need is a finance need, if your need is an emotional need, whatever your need is, it is already done, just waiting for us to take delivery of it. So then this brings the question, so often asked, how do we bring those things? How do we bring all of those promises, all of those deliverances, all of those answers that are already prepared for us and stored in those warehouses of blessing? How do we bring those things from the spiritual realm into this natural realm? How do we possess them and lay hold of them? How do we manifest those things that are done and waiting for us? How do we manifest those things here in this natural realm? Well, in part, that's exactly what Psalm 100 verse number 4, is beginning to explain to us. Because the heart, the thankful heart, blesses the Lord for more than just the things that are already received. The thankful heart blesses the Lord for more than just those things already received. The thankful heart blesses the Lord for all of those things, even the things that have not yet been received, but that you know, because you know his promises are true. Because you know that they are done, they are established, they are waiting for you. Now, a lot of it comes with, and this is a whole different topic, but a lot of it comes with speaking. When we speak words of faith, we bring those things, we usher them from the spiritual realm into this natural realm. But a part of that faith is what comes from praise. A major part of that is the praise that is ushered from our very mouths. The praise that comes from our lips. So picture it again. Thanksgiving is that which opens up the gates so that we can enter in. And praise is what we use to bring those things, to bring all of those promises, all those established realities, to bring them from the unseen, to bring them from the unseen world, from the spiritual realm, here into this natural realm that we live in. So let me talk about the soul again. Just a little bit. Now, again, for a lot of you, this is going to be repetition because I've talked about this many times over the last 4 years. But I want to make sure that we're all on the same page as I head into this next point. So we are made spirit, soul, and body. There's three parts to who we are. Spirit, the spirit is the part of us. The spirit is that element of who you are. It's that part of you that was dead to sin, disconnected from Jesus Christ because of sin. But the moment that you accept the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ, Your spirit is made alive. Why? Because His Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ Himself, comes to dwell in your spirit and makes your spirit alive. So that's your spirit. Your soul, as we've said, it is that part of you that is your heart. It's your thoughts, your mind, your personality, your will, that unique creation of who you are. And then the body is that part of us that is this. It's this flesh that ties us to this natural world. So because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, His Spirit dwells within our spirits. So for each one of us, even though you can't see it, your spirit is continually and always connected to the spiritual realm. You are always tied right now to the throne room of Jesus Christ and God the Father. You are right now. You can't see it, but it's true. Because your spirit is tied to His Spirit, which ties like a great big spiritual umbilical cord right from here to this natural world into the spiritual realm. Now, you can't see it because we also dwell in this flesh. And in the same way that the Spirit ties us to the spiritual realm, this flesh ties us to this natural realm. And as long as we're tied to the natural realm hides or disguises from us or keeps hidden the things of the spiritual realm. You know that it's there and you are tied to the spiritual realm. We just can't see it. So if we're tied to the spiritual realm by His Spirit and we're tied to the natural realm by the flesh, then what is it that determines which of these will prevail? What is it that determines which of these will prevail in our lives, the spiritual or the natural? What is it that makes that determination? What's the one element that's left? It's your soul. Really, essentially, it's your will, and your will is a part of your soul. So my soul is the door, or make a reference to the gate that we talked about earlier. My soul is the door that opens or closes the flow of the Holy Spirit through me and then manifests into my natural world, my natural life. The soul, my will, is that door that makes that determination. So it's my soul that decides whether I'm going to have the flow of the Holy Spirit or whether instead I'm going to be locked up and bound up in all of those things of the world instead. But when I make the choice, when I choose to thank Jesus Christ for those things that I have not yet seen, but I know they're done. When I thank Jesus Christ for all those things that are laid up and stored for me in my warehouse of blessing, when I choose to thank Jesus Christ for those things, I've chosen to open up the door. I have opened the gates and entered into His presence within me because His Spirit dwells within me. Does it make sense? Then I am there in the courts right here. And I can praise Him and thank Him and I can lay hold of all of those promises and all of those things that are stored up for me. Does that make sense? Open up the gates and enter into every promise that Jesus has for you. Open up the gates with thanksgiving and enter into all of those promises, every one. It all begins with thanksgiving because giving of thanks is what opens up those gates. And then my soul, my mind, my thoughts, my will, my personality, then my soul thanks Him for both the seen and the unseen promises that I already have in my life. Then I can lay hold of them and procure them with my praise and bring them from the spiritual realm to this natural realm where they're manifested in my life. Am I going too fast? I know I'm giving you a lot of information today. I actually thought this morning, I probably should have made this into two Sundays, but you're getting two Sundays worth of information all in one morning. So if your mind overloads, you'll understand why. So this whole concept or this whole principle, we see this also explained to us in another psalm altogether. In fact, I just love the way the Holy Spirit works things together. I wasn't even thinking, I was doing the prayer closet, and I say this for Al's benefit because I know Al's always listening. I always try to make sure I do something different on the prayer closet because I know Al's listening. He comes on Sunday, doesn't want to hear the same message because he listens every day. That's good. That keeps me honest, Al. I can't cheat. I can't coast at all. So I always try to have a different message. But since it was heading into the days of Thanksgiving, I wanted to be focused on thanks. And so I just had me looking at Psalm 92. And as I was reading Psalm 92, verses 1 through 4, I'm reading that. And all of a sudden on Wednesday, I didn't even go where I was going with it because it was one of those exceptional moments when all of a sudden it was like that whole verse number 4, just opened up and it all made sense. And I saw things I never saw before. And I'm not going to have time to go into all the details that I used on Wednesday. I thought that is just awesome because all of a sudden I saw that it ties into exactly what we're talking about today. I love when the Holy Spirit just shows and reveals those things, and His timing is always perfect. So Psalm 92 starts. It begins by reinforcing what we've already established so far this morning. So look at verse number 1. Psalm 92, verse number 1 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High." Now, go down 3 verses. Let's read this very short but very powerful verse number 4. "For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands." Listen to what the psalm writer is saying here. The psalm writer is saying, it is the Lord that has made me glad. It's almost as though the Lord made him glad in spite of himself. You, Lord, have made me glad. You know, in our lives, every single one of us is going to have days, going to have circumstances, situations in our lives where you just don't understand what's happening. You think to yourself, and sometimes you even say out loud, "Jesus, are you seeing this? Are you watching? Don't you care what's going on?" Living in this life, it can be stressful. It can be distressing. Sometimes it can even be depressing if we allow it to be so. But it's in those moments. In those moments, if we don't have thankful hearts, without thankful hearts, we will not be able to look ahead and see hope and see promises. Without thankful hearts, all we're going to do is look ahead and see despair and dread. What did the psalm writer say here? The psalm writer said, "You, O Lord, have made me glad." How did the Lord make him glad? Almost in spite of himself. How did the Lord make him glad? The Lord made him glad by the works of his hands. The Lord made him glad by his great and marvelous works. The Lord made him glad. In other words, the psalm writer is thanking the Lord for the things that he has done for him. And in that process of thanking the Lord for the things, in that process of remembering the good things that the Lord had done for him, it causes him to start to give thanks, exactly what he talks about in verse number 1. It is that process of remembering the things, the good things the Lord has done. That's why last week we talked so much about remembrance. When you remember the good things the Lord has done, it starts us to do that thankfulness in our hearts towards God. Now, once we have that thankfulness in our hearts towards God, which is spoken of in verse number 1, we see the result of a thankful heart at the end of verse number 4. We see a thankful heart in verse number 1. The result of a thankful heart, we see it at the end of verse 4. And that's where the psalm writer, it says, the psalm writer or the psalmist will. Not he might, not maybe, not if all the circumstances line up. It says the psalm writer will triumph in the works of the Lord. Will triumph in the works of the Lord. The psalm writer will triumph. In remembering the good things that the Lord has done for us, by remembering those things, it causes our minds, it causes our hearts to turn to thanksgiving to Him. And then the thankful heart opens up the gates. Now with the gates open, then we can look ahead. We can see the promises. We can see every good thing that He has already established for us, prepared and established for us. Then we can see the unseen victories that are prepared for us in the spiritual realm. Then we can see the triumph that is ours in Jesus Christ. We can look ahead and see the triumph that lays ahead of us, that lays in front of us in Jesus Christ. Then we're able to begin to praise Him and to lay hold of and grasp all of those promises that we have not yet seen but are established for us. Now, everything I've shared so far is all set up for us and established from the Old Testament. The beautiful thing is how the New Testament builds upon this. And it's from the New Testament that we can begin to see ourselves walking in that victorious parade that is led by Jesus Christ. Look at this verse. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14. This is one of the first verses I ever memorized when I became a new believer in Jesus Christ. Starts off good. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrances of his knowledge in every place. Key words I want you to remember. Thanks, obviously. Triumph. Fragrance. And fragrance that is in the knowledge. So remember those words. But I want you to see by reading that verse, Jesus has already purchased our victory. We are already triumphant in all things. We are already triumphant in him, regardless of how things appear in your life. You are already triumphant in Jesus. Now, I want to look at this verse, but I'm going to look at it again, this time through the expanded Bible, which probably nobody's ever looked at, but every once in a while, the expanded Bible actually has, just brings a fullness to it. Have you used it before, Ed? Sometimes it just brings a great fullness to it. So I want to see that same verse, but I want you to look at that verse in the expanded Bible. So again, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14 from the expanded Bible. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's victory parade, procession. The image is of a victorious Roman general leading his army and his captives through the streets. Now, I want you to understand what he's talking about here when it says captives. Because this is the same captives that is used in verses like in Ephesians chapter 4 and Psalm 68 when it talks about taking captivity captive. That's talking about how Jesus Christ actually captured those. Jesus captured those who had been held in captivity by sin and death. So Jesus captured them from the captivity of sin and death into his victory, the victory of the cross. So when it talks about captives, that's what it's talking about. Remember that because that is so important as we get to a verse here in a few minutes. It goes on to say, God uses us to spread his knowledge everywhere like a sweet-smelling perfume, the aroma, fragrance of the knowledge of him. Incense or spices were burned during such victory parades. This is giving us the picture of a victory parade. Picture yourself walking every day in a parade of the victorious led by Jesus Christ. As we are in thanks, opening up those gates, and with praise, laying hold and procuring, possessing all those promises that are ours. Picture yourself at the very front, right behind Jesus Christ in that parade of victory. Because when you're walking in that parade, you actually become the fragrance of Jesus Christ to the world, who is also watching that victorious procession. And when the world smells that aroma of victory, they are also going to come and be seeking out for promises in their lives as well. The word that we see there, or the phrase that we see there for sweet aroma, I love what that means. Sweet aroma literally means the sweet odor that accompanies an acceptable offering. This is exactly what we're talking about. It is the sweet odor that accompanies an acceptable offering. That's talking about your unique sacrifice, offering of praise and thanksgiving. Your offering of praise and thanksgiving is an acceptable offering to him. And it is a sweet aroma to the world. That's why it's so imperative that we not remain silent, but that we offer our thanksgiving and our praise to him on an ongoing basis. Because remember, you are the unique creation. You are a unique creation in Jesus Christ. And you are the only one. You are the only one that can give that unique offering, acceptable offering of praise and thanksgiving, the way Jesus created you to do it. So you offer your unique praise and thanksgiving, which is an acceptable offer. And then it becomes that sweet aroma that the world receives. The world receives that sweet aroma that is accompanied by your unique praise and thanksgiving. And it's a unique praise and thanksgiving. Listen to this. It's a unique praise and thanksgiving. It's unique because it comes with your personal knowledge, your personal knowing of the promises of Jesus Christ, of his divine and eternal promises that are laid up in the spiritual realm and waiting for you. And it's that unique and personal knowledge of those promises and your ability to see the triumph that you have in Jesus Christ that lies in front of you, and that you then go and possess all of those promises that lie in front of you that are yours in the triumph of Jesus Christ, and you possess them with your heart that first gave thanks and is now praising him in part as a statement of faith in the things that he has done. You know, it is a praise of faith. When you are praising him for those things that you've not yet seen, that is faith. This is what touches the world and wins the world. Your walking in the victory parade of Jesus Christ makes you his sweet aroma that the world is won over to, that leads and draws other people to Jesus Christ. That's a beautiful picture of who we are and what we have. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we also learn about the sweet aroma from a prophecy, or from the prophet Ezekiel. So we're going to go back and look at Ezekiel chapter 20, verse number 41. But I love the way that Ezekiel, you're going to see this. Ezekiel ties many of these same words and themes together in this one prophetic verse. Ezekiel number 20, verse number 41. This is in the Amplified Bible. I will accept you graciously as a pleasant odor when I lead you from the peoples and gather you out of the countries into which you have been scattered. And I will manifest my holiness among you in the sight of all the nations who will seek me because of my power displayed in you. You know, the prophet Ezekiel was talking about today. What he's talking about is today. Because we are the ones, we're the ones that he's talking about. We are the ones who are accepted. We are accepted by the graciousness or by the grace of Jesus Christ. And you are the sweet aroma of Jesus Christ that comes through you as Jesus leads you into that daily victorious parade where his power and his promises have been made manifest, have been displayed in you and in your victorious life through him. That is a sweet aroma to the world. That is what Ezekiel was prophesying, and that's what you and I are living today. If we will have those hearts that with thanksgiving open up the gates, with praise lay hold of all of those things that are established and prepared for us. We are at the head. Picture that parade of the victorious led by Jesus. We are at the head of that parade. But you know, like all parades, there is a back end of the parade. And Colossians chapter 2 talks to us about that back end of the parade. This is Colossians 2:15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing, here again we see that word, triumphing over them in it. Jesus has stripped Satan and all of his demons of all of their power, and he did it in a public spectacle. You and I, we are at the head. We are at the front of that victory parade. We are at the very front, but behind us, bringing up the rear in defeat and in humiliation, is Satan. And every one of the lies that he has brought against you. We walk at the front. He walks in the rear, defeated and humiliated. Now, I want you to see that same verse. Again, going back to the Expanded Bible two times in 1 week. We probably won't use it again for a year, but it was important this morning. So read that same verse, Colossians chapter 2, verse number 15, from the Expanded Bible. And I want you to see how this ties into what we just looked at in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14. God or Christ, he stripped the spiritual rulers and powers of their authority, disarmed, despoiled the rulers and authorities. With the cross, he won the victory and showed the world that they were powerless. Publicly shamed them. They're at the back of the parade. Publicly shamed them. Made a public spectacle of them. Like a triumphant general displaying his captives in a victory parade. The same imagery we see there. But in the previous one, remember, in 2 Corinthians, it's the same imagery from 2 Corinthians 2:14. But in 2 Corinthians 2:14, the captives that were being talked about were those captives who were at the front of the victory parade. It's those who have been taken, who have been captured from the captivity of sin and death. And they are in the victory of Jesus Christ. So 2 Corinthians 2:14 was talking about those captives at the front end of the parade. This verse is talking about the captives that are at the back end, bringing up the back end of the parade. It's Satan and all of his defeated powers. The pooper scoopers, yes! Exactly right. That's the imagery. Write that down. I got to add that tonight to my notes. That is exactly right. Listen, with thanks, we need to open up those gates. With thanks, let's open up those gates and let's enter in and let's take possession of all the promises that Jesus has for us. And we take possession of those promises in large part by our praise. We lay hold of it and bring it in faith from the spiritual realm into this natural realm. Let's make sure that every day we are at the head, at the very front of that victory parade. Amen.